Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Evident Footprints here on bbsradio.com. Officially, it is March 1st, although parts of the world are still experiencing the leap year, February 29th. And somehow yesterday or the day before in an email, I referred to today as February 30th. So you can tell that my brain was not totally in sync with my body. Anyway, this is a remarkable evening that we have planned for you. A very good friend of mine who has appeared twice on my Evident Footprint show back when I was on the old network, as I like to refer to it as. He has already done a total of 5 hours of programming, and we booked a special 2-hour show for your listening enjoyment, for your education, and your spiritual upliftment. And if you are listening to this show and know someone who will benefit from hearing this, by all means, get in touch with them and get them to come online and listen to tonight's guest. We have an author of many fine books, two quite well-known the world over, translated into foreign languages, encoded with a special message that will activate your spirit, your soul, and bring you into alignment with the universal changes that are taking place as we speak and will be taking place in the very near future. Technically, there is no future if you look at the reality of time and that everything is an eternal now. However, we must recognize these things according to our current consciousness. This author has written Zen of Stars, Foreseen Beyond Time, and some other works. He's also a consultant to many important people around the world, as a business consultant, forecaster of events to come, and advises them in making the best decisions they can to make progress in their business. He also counsels or consults with individuals on life changes that they are going to experience. And he did this for me last year, and I have to tell you, his predictions have come true so far, and if they continue on, I think we're all in for a nice long ride and a lot of fun, maybe for the next 10 years. With that, I would like to invite tonight's guest on board, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things. You may want to grab a piece of paper or several pieces of paper and a pen or a pencil and write some things down. With that, I would like to invite for his third appearance on Evident Footprints, my good friend, and in many ways my mentor, Mr. Michael St. Clair. Michael, good evening.
Hi, how are you doing, Don? Nice to hear your voice again.
Oh, you too. I am so thrilled to have you on the show. I have pumped this up as much as anyone can, and it's really good to have you here. I know this is quite a momentous time for us, as well as yourself. You just had a birthday, and I want to wish you a happy birthday on the air, although it's already passed, but we can still have a little party tonight.
Yes, yes, we'll have a big party. It will last many years. That was just a day ago. Actually, I was not born on leap day. Okay, people always think I'm a leap day guy, but it's the 28th.
Yes.
But yesterday, I'm saying yesterday because here in Europe it's the 1st of March, in the morning already, daylight here. But actually it's the 29th for you still, or for California.
Yeah, California.
I decided on leap day we should delete the thoughts. That's my message. We should delete day gave me the idea we have to delete all the years that come before because it's not needed to carry all the baggage and we can always reinvent ourselves. And actually, all of our lifetime is always the now. Like you were just saying, that the future is a permanent now.
Mm-hmm.
So you can summarize a whole life. I mean, I'm like 7 times 7 years old now, 49. And I thought, that's a nice figure, but actually it's just now. And you can delete the figure, the number that goes before. You can delete it. Because it's all thought. Time is all thought.
Yes. Now, I happen to be 7 times 8, and I turned 56. On November 27th, and
yeah, you have one more round of 7 ahead.
Yes, this was my believe it or not, this was the first night of my show. Technically, on the West Coast, my show began on the 26th, and I was thinking how nice it would be if it began on my birthday. And I looked up at my clock, which is an atomic clock, and it has the date on it, and it was November 27th. And I said, "Whoa." That happened, you know, it's just a sign, I think, and I tend to look for those in many things, and I know we're going to be talking
yes.
about.
Yes, we must look for signs all the time, and they're there always. That's what we can go by, and just listen to what the invisible world, the spirits are telling us. They're not so visible for us now, but they will be very soon. Things are becoming more and more visible, even by light frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we listen to that, the input that comes to us via signs and synchronicities, we know where to go. We know what
yes.
to do, you know.
Yes. Now, Michael, I want to let the audience know that you have been a very, very busy man. And at least for the past 3 months, I know that you have been working very hard, probably longer than that. We have been experiencing, on the physical level, many, many rapid changes which are taking place, many which you forecast in your books and in your public speaking, even on my radio show. And these things have come true. They've come to pass. And we're recognizing as they're unfolding, we're able to see these things happening. Now, some people have a problem grasping the reality of what's going on, in terms of how it's affecting the government, how it's affecting their lives, their income, their health, all of these issues. And yet we are going to attempt, or we will, I shouldn't use the word attempt, we will be tonight talking about creating a whole new reality. Let's say, looking at how these things are changing and how they're going to affect us, but at the same time, how we can create this new reality and not be affected by those things, especially the negative. Am I correct in forecasting
that? Yes, that's right. That's right, because we create our reality every moment. We have to be aware that we are as powerful as the ETs, that we come from the stars, that we are encoded with all the knowledge. We just have forgotten most of it. I mean, even I, every day, figure out new things. Even masters of my own people have more knowledge than I have. You know, you said I'm your mentor, but I'm not. I'm just, I spent a lot of time studying. And now, like you said, the last few months, I've gone into implementation because my clients are just saying, okay, we understand all that. Now, what are we going to do? Because we really need to get prepared, not for bad things or what happens in terms of earth changes and all that. That's not important, the outer world. I mean, yes, sure, a lot of interesting things will happen, but we have to continue to create and be aware that what we think as time goes by, we are going to be able to manifest much faster from thought to reality than we were able to do before. I think this is due to the dimensional shift that is happening. You see, I don't believe or think that there will be some Planet X type event or things of that sort, but what I know what is going on, has been going on, is a dimensional shift. There is an interdimensional, or rather hyperdimensional, magnetic field shift coming towards us, towards our galaxy, and bringing the Earth planet and many other planets into this new field, and that is creating a whole psychic cloud or a field into which we come. And we take on literally stardust, and that activates our DNA. And one could say that we are experiencing almost like a transformation into a new mankind, into a new humanity. Like, let's say it was like the version of Windows 1.8 humanity. We now go to humanity 2.0, the beta version. And this is happening as we speak. And that is why we can make predictions very accurately. Last time I remember you and I talked about gold, and I was saying to people, you need to really buy gold now, it's going to go up very fast. And it did. And we're now at 970 something, and I'm thinking that we're going to go to see gold at 1600-1700, and it will probably stay up there. So we are able to see practical consequences of our thinking, and we can adapt easily, because I've always said that when we see it, we can act on it. So seeing is its own right action. Mm-hmm. And everyone can do that, either via signs or even via linear thinking. We can later talk about why gold goes up, what's going on. So there's a lot of good stuff coming through in these changes, and we have to focus on that and on the solutions of how we can live other lives outside of the matrix.
Mm-hmm. I'm inclined to agree with you. First of all, you mentioned the dimensional shift. On a past show, I talked to you about how I stood in a couple of energy vortexes on the same property and experienced that shift in real time. And,
yes.
And it affected vision, but it affected it in a way where most people, I think, would not be able to even handle that. And I don't put myself on a pedestal by saying that. It was that I knew what was going to happen before I stood in the vortex. I knew the vortex was there. I could sense it. I could feel it. And when I stood in it, my vision, my physical vision, became doubled, and I saw the new reality 3 feet higher than the other one, than this one.
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I saw
Yes, I follow you about the vortex and what you were feeling while you were standing in the vortex, yes?
Yes. And my physical vision saw a 3-foot shift, what I would estimate to be about 3 feet, as if I was seeing the third dimension and the fifth dimension at the same time. The physical
yes.
reality was still there, but it had moved.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly what's going on. That's very well described, what you just said.
Okay.
And I'm sure other people can see it, but they're probably a bit stunned by it or, like, taken aback, or they think they're going nuts or what. But that is exactly what's going on. We
or
feel
they
like
call
we're
the
walking,
optometrist.
Yeah, we're
Go ahead.
Walking sort of above the street level, and we see things from a different perspective. And time and space, everything shifts. That's why I'm calling this a hyperdimensional shift.
Yes.
And that's enveloping the whole planet, and it's creating changes. I guess, I'm not a scientist, but I must guess it creates changes in the DNA level. And as we are alive and go through the days and weeks, everything in ourselves changes. So we adapt to this shift. Now, most people don't feel well. All the experiences that they are out of sync. But when we know intellectually that that is to be expected, we can attune better to this and actually look at it as something amazing and bring
yes.
it in to help us make better decisions.
Yes. Now, would you be interested in hearing some of the changes that I'm experiencing? Just
yes.
as a point of,
yes.
Of reference? Okay, because we haven't
yes,
really
absolutely.
Had a chance to talk. well, you know, I have several metaphysical gifts. I'm very intuitive. I'm very sensitive, clairaudience, clairvoyance. And one of the things that was not a particular talent in my telepathic abilities was to pick up names. Occasionally, I would get a name. Over the past year, I have begun seeing names, but in the past week, they just come straight out. Names of cities, names of people, names of organizations, which identify what I'm looking at in my research. So this has become an invaluable search or research tool for me in that I don't have to hunt for the names. The names come.
That's right. That happens to me, too. I can confirm that.
Okay.
We seem to know where to go look for by input that comes to us.
Yes. And now, with the charades that go on with all of this script that's playing before us on a worldwide scale, and I'm talking about the wars and the political strife and the economic situations and all of this, when I hear a story, I instantly know what the truth is, and I can identify what the spin is in the story without
That's
doing
right.
any, with no research.
Yes. That's good. So, that's very good.
So if I'm presuming you and others you know are experiencing something similar.
Oh yes. I've had this now for I would say about 2 to 4 years, but more and more I can look at these stories on the internet, like for instance this whole election circus, and I see right away what it's about. But I don't say to people because it's a bit shocking to tell people what goes through my mind, or you would also if you would tell people what you actually get in as input, they would think you're a little out there. But what you're getting as input is the truth. I know. You can see right through the whole screen of the smoke and mirrors.
Mm-hmm. Now, I see others reacting. Let's say, like in the Patriot movement, they are very concerned because you know deep down inside that there is fraud in these elections. You know that they're playing games with the deep old voting machines and that there are ballot issues and the recounts are not even honest.
Yes, of course, this is all pre-planned, what has to happen by those forces, of course. And I know this would affect the Patriot people. They are very upset about this.
Yes, and at the same time now, I notice that while they talk about that, they talk about getting their candidate elected as if these problems don't exist, even though in the prior sentence they discuss it. So there's still a disconnect somewhat of what they're perceiving and then the action they take, if you understand my meaning. In other words, there's a bit of denial.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, they are, because they are still, how should I say this, they are attached into the matrix somehow still. They give this importance when really, I mean, honestly, from my viewpoint, even if I live now still in America, which I did for 15 years, it's really irrelevant. And they would save themselves a lot of time to come to the conclusion to realize it is really not relevant. And they would be better off using their time to create their own communities, their own networks, and just get on with their lives and build for the future that is right around the corner, when they will be better off having their own communities, their own networks, their lives organized in the way they want without even giving thought or energy or time to look at this whole circus.
Yes. Okay, now we can...
Because it's time-consuming to... It's very time-consuming to even read all that nonsense, you know?
Oh, yes. And then to sort it out and then to deal with all the emotions that you go through, because it can bring about despair or fear. Even those that aren't fearful, they can hold this fear inside in a subconscious way, I think, that... zaps your energy. It's sort of like a psychic vampire of sorts.
Yes, it is. It's all this whole thing is made to create negative energies, and it's all just dark. It's the old law of where you put your energy, the thought goes, and where the thought goes, the energy goes. That's why I'm saying it's a waste of time in simple English, because to put your thought into that stuff means you have your energy attracted to these irrelevant, if not dark, subject. So it's just best to leave it alone and move on, however, with what we have to do to create circumstances where we can live in a healthy way, eat the right food and be prosperous and trade and do things with each other, with like-minded people who know that this whole outside spectacle is absolutely irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is going fast now, you know, we're coming fast. It's already now March 2008. Within less than 3 years, we will be facing all these situations, the outside situations, I mean. And for those, we have to be prepared. So we have less than 3 years to actually find solutions and get prepared to live different lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I forgot to say one thing before. If the readers are interested in these subjects, there is one website that has done a lot of work now. You have interviewed them. It's Kerry Cassidy and Bill Ryan.
Oh, yes.
They do a lot of videos with a lot of people who have a great deal of knowledge about many, many subjects. Anyway, the website is projectcamelot.net. And people should go onto that website and sometimes see what's new, the interviews that the two have done on video. Like, for instance, they've just interviewed the little Russian boy in Moscow who is a time traveler from Mars and who tells his impressions, etc. So there are much more interesting things that people could invest their time into to see what's actually going on. And mm-hmm. Project Camelot has interviewed people who have a lot to say. I mean, you know them. I know that you know them. You've interviewed them.
Yes.
And when you read through their materials, because they've written a great paper called The Future Is Now, and they've also
yes.
written another paper a while back, which is constantly updated, which is called The Big Picture.
Mm-hmm.
And in those two papers, they're online with many, many links and videos that they shot. The listener will get, after, say, a weekend of time of looking at the videos and reading, a very clear impression of where we're really at. It's a very balanced work because they interviewed many people over 2 years on video, and all of this can be seen as a documentary. And then they wrote their own preliminary summary. I mean, it's a work in progress, and they keep summarizing. And that's a good introduction for people to get their mind towards the more important subjects.
And they can see your interview there, too. In fact, their interview with you is what was, they were infinitely responsible for bringing you and me together. So,
I'm
eternally grateful for them.
Yes, I am grateful to them, too. It is through that video in the castle in Chillon at the Lake of Geneva that many people around the world got in touch with me.
Yes,
they've done a lot of great work. They've also interviewed Dan Burish many times,
mm-hmm.
Deacon as well, and now the Russian boy. And they're continuing, they're interviewing left, right, and center over many subjects, but with the purpose really of coming to a conclusion of where we are really at in the bigger picture and what's
yes.
really about to happen, what is more probable. Because you see, in this whole business of wanting to predict the future, we have to understand always everything is only probable and possible. There are many arms like tunnel lanes going left, right, center. So there are 3, 4, 5 different futures possible. And it's not yet written in stone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is that, and they agree with me and with you, we are the ones who are creating this future. So this, what will happen, depends on us, on our behavior. So the
Absolutely.
Patriots who are listening to you, they need to apply this to themselves. They need to understand it's all in their hands.
Yes, we tend to follow this path that's been laid out before us, and we can be road builders, if you want to use that term, and determine we're going to follow a different route.
Yes.
In fact, following their road is going to lead where they choose for us to go, not where we choose.
That's right, and we will live simultaneous different realities or futures, if you want to call it that word. There will be what I call radiant zones or islands of lights or safe places, whatever, networks, that will be engulfed by energy depletion zones with cities going down and earth changes of all sorts, you know, water level rises, etc., all that stuff that people know about. But there will be simultaneous realities unfolding. Some very useful, very good, geared towards science, towards finding new solutions, and others will just be on the descending future, on the reality that's about to die. But these things will live side by side,
mm-hmm.
in the same space, at the same time.
Yes,
so
I think
that's why I said it depends on where people want to put their focus.
Yes.
That's
I think the U.S. Capitol building will make a great underwater aquarium ornament.
Yes, that's what we hear. That's the general feeling of the prediction, yes.
So
it's called Timeline 2. Yes, it's Timeline 2. I mean, the so that the listeners understand what we're talking about, I think the assumption is this, that in 47 or in the 40s, whenever, these guys that came in their ships onto Roswell and other places in Russia, Germany, and America, mm-hmm. they were not really space travelers. They didn't really come from other star systems. They came from the future. In fact, they are us in the future. And they came to tell us, guys, you have to change the future, because if you don't, this is what's going to happen. And then they came down here with their looking glass technology and with their tools where they could show the Capitol building underwater, etc. But I think some experts are saying we have left Timeline 2, that dangerous time zone, and we're back on a better timeline, but on variants of timelines that are still, there's still going to be problems ahead of us, but maybe not as bad as we thought it was, or as was told to us. You understand what I mean?
Yes, as if, you know, the timelines are going to take on the characteristics of our thought patterns and our intention and what we actually create.
That's exactly right. I strongly feel that. If a majority of people start thinking different thoughts, the reality will accordingly change. And these darker forces, they know that, and this is why they're spewing out all these negative predictions to condition a majority of the minds to think very negative thoughts, so it comes mm-hmm. into being.
Yeah.
It's pretty perverse when you think of it.
Now, I do, at some point tonight, want to talk about this perception that we have of time speeding up, but maybe now is not the correct moment. I know that you wanted to talk about some of the astroclimate, and do you think it's more appropriate to go in that direction right now and then maybe come back to
yes.
how this influences
yes.
time?
Yes, we could do that. I mean, what's going on now in the larger time scale picture, and then I'll say a little bit more about right now in March, is the following. Pluto has now entered the sign of Capricorn, which is a sign of time travel, by the way. It's also the sign that rules structures, governments, institutions, economy, all that stuff. Okay, mm-hmm. that's 250 years. So the last time Pluto was there was when all these American revolutions and all that business took place. So we've come full circle now after 250 years. And Pluto in Capricorn is just going to change reality out of recognition, or at least it will mirror, it's not Pluto that changes, but the fact that Pluto is for 15 years until 2024 in Capricorn will really change the reality completely. And that planet is starting to make very challenging aspects to other planets. Soon to Uranus, right now to Mars. It's in opposition to Mars right now, the next week, to the Sun on the 20th, 21st of March. So this means we are now in this March of 2008 and into the next, say, 6-7 years, all the way up to about 2014-15, we're coming into a time where there's a lot of volatility, a lot of explosive climate. That will affect everything, about everything, economy, the political landscape, the division of forces, the different agendas, multipolar world order against one world order, new world order. All these are just agendas that are colliding into each other. And there is, when one looks at the planets, when one translates this, there isn't one force that governs the planet. It's just not so. You know, there's this whole mythology that there are some few bad guys who rule everything. It's not true. All these little groups, they all fight each other inside of themselves. That's the good news, actually. They're not on the same page at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we, as people who know that, can actually get a chance now in these alignments to create our own reality. But we will be up against a very extreme business, economy, climate, and also against a very tough climate, weather climate type situation where the storms are getting bigger. All these dimensional changes we talked about are creating, as we speak now, a lot of changes that we all have to adapt to. So the planets are showing that now is a time that we need to get organized. We need to structure internally ourselves, stay healthy, and it's going to be a little tough. I mean, the changes are here. They're on us now. It's not even in a faraway future. It's right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's now, what causes some of us to be very busy, by the way. There's a lot going on. A lot of people are realizing now is the time.
We are definitely noticing that there is dissension amongst the powers that be, the ones that would push for this new world order. We can see them splitting up into factions, economically, especially, politically, and sociologically. Now, they're trying to, I mean, this is the perception we have here in America, and you've probably been reading about it and maybe even hearing about it. What you experienced back when you were closer to home here. It has ramped up unbelievably. You have this doublespeak in politics where they just say, well, we're protecting the borders, but we have millions of people coming over the borders. People's houses are being foreclosed. People are without food. They're without jobs. So we are living this, but at the same time, there's a lot of instability in the government. Now, I don't intend to dwell on these negatives per se, but this is the perception that people have. And so there's a lot of confusion about this. And people need to hang their hat on something, if you know what I mean. They need something to ground them so that they can say, okay, this is happening. Why it's happening is probably just a power struggle. It's sort of like a cancer eating itself. What would you suggest beyond just telling people, well, you have to start preparing? What would you say to them as far as mindset, as far as getting them on that spiritual path so that they follow spirit first and then, make decisions and then gauge their actions accordingly? That's a difficult question, I know. But
yes, I understand. Well, I think each one has to realize, again, that energy follows thought and thought follows energy. So they need to decide first, where do they want to put that thought time in? Do they want to study conspiracy theories, which is really a subject that drives you mad after a while? I mean, I've done it for a few years. You and I are experts in that. Or do they want to put their mind time towards solving their lives? Now, they have to know a few things that are happening that are not nice, but there are realities. Yes, there's going to be food shortages, maybe food riots. The commodity prices are going to go soaring up. The basic food supplies, rice, beans, etc., all of it will go into hyperinflation. So, I mean, sure, everyone needs to know the surrounding landscapes where the minefield is, that everyone needs to be like an intelligence officer and really know this and this is happening and the trend is towards more of this happening. Hyperinflation, unemployment, borders being run in, not only in America. You know, here too, the European Union, they're opening the borders soon enough. There will be people from all over the world walking all over the place. Mm-hmm. That's the design they have. I mean, I was at the airport in Frankfurt the other day on the New Year of the Chinese New Year. This German spaceport where the future ET crafts are and they're beaming light in, it looked like Shanghai. I mean, there's half of China here. So we're used to this mixture of people. And there's nothing bad really with that. You know, actually it's quite okay that you get to see other people. But I think people need to realize each one for himself, for herself, needs to listen to whatever is his or her own inner guidance, the signs that we talked about, little signs, shamanic signs, observe birds, number plates on cars, what have you. I mean, whatever it is, and figure out what it can mean for yourself and follow what you feel would be good for you. I have suggested to people, but it's not a good thing really to do in great public, to build these islands of lights or safe places or radiant zones. But, you know, if millions of people would hear me, that would cause mass anarchy. So I have to be careful what I tell people. Because if everybody was to leave the cities tomorrow, which is really the right thing to do, then that would cause more trouble than the earth changes can cause. But I think those who know that they have something important to do in the next few years will realize that they are better off together with some other friends on the same wavelengths to build a little community of their own, try to do something about free energy with a few scientists, get a few farmers together, go off the grid and build just small villages and create barter economies. Gold is needed for that, of course, and become of use to the surrounding villages and neighborhoods. This is sort of the vision I have. I don't know if we can do that, but once the big problems engulf us in the real three-dimensional world, we have to be somewhat prepared for this. And the first thing is the health. So everyone needs to know how to become his or her own doctor. They need to know about herbal medicines, which herb is for what. What is better for kidneys? What's better for blood circulation? I mean, the subjects are myriads. They're huge. You have to be your own doctor, your own time traveler, your own astrologer. So there's so much that each one could study and learn just to be able to function in life at this new level. That time would be better spent studying this than studying what whether Clinton or Obama or X or Y becomes president, because it's really of no relevance to what's going to happen in the next years.
Mm-hmm.
I know this sounds maybe unpopular, but it's the truth as far as from my viewpoint. Anyway.
No, the very reason why I asked you this question or asked you to explain this is something I touch on as well, and I'm not saying, you know, thanks for being on the show, Michael, and have a good night. No, it's... You are confirming what I say, although you have a very direct, authoritative way of saying it, and without getting as maybe as energetic as I can be at times, because I know you are an awakener, and I see myself kind of playing the same role, maybe in a different way, because I have to take into consideration that that people. There are many people who are not ready to just jump into the reality of recognizing spirit and it's really its essence, let's say, and because of that, I have to sort of sneak them into this to say, okay, these are the problems. This is how they were created. These could be solutions. However, it's so far into the game that you would be better off going inside and finding out who you really are and why you came here, and then ask yourself the simple question, if I'm really interested in surviving, or how interested am I? Am I interested enough to take this advice and put it into action and make it become my reality? Because if
that's
you know...
Right. What you just said is very, very correct. It's not everyone must survive. That's not in everyone's karma. And it isn't even about surviving. It's not about the outer changes. It's what you just said. It's the inner change. Are people willing to see that they actually have a meaning here, why they're actually here?
Mm-hmm.
What you said was very well said.
Well,
by the way,
you.
As you were speaking, there's a shamanic sign right now here in Europe. As you were speaking, there's a huge thunderstorm that started.
Just as
the
I
morning
spoke.
Started, like, really blue and nice and, like, sunny. And now it's like this amazing thunderstorm, and I love thunderstorms.
Okay,
just as
well,
you were saying these words that you were saying about people need to know who they actually are, that's the first reason why they should seek some silence inside.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sorry for interrupting you.
No, that's fine. I'm just speaking my truth, basically, to bounce it off of you to get you to respond. I mean, this is what communication is all about. We're not just communicating with each other. We're communicating to people all over the world right now. I have this feeling that we have more people listening to the show tonight than ever before. And one reason for that is because you are on the show. But at the same time, this is our opportunity to speak our truth. And that is a very powerful, positive energy that really changes this matrix, this paradigm, if you want to call it that.
Yes.
And we are encouraging the listeners to really take to heart what we're talking about here. We're not spouting off our own personal private agendas here. This concerns all of us. Anyone who has a concern of fulfilling the oath they took when they came to this planet to experience life. You have to come to a point where you face that oath and that promise that you made, if it was to the Creator or just to your higher self, that you were going to come here and effect a positive change, not just for yourself, but the whole of humanity and for this planet.
That's right, what you said. That was beautifully said. It's what
is
you call the higher
thundering?
Self. I call the future self, yes.
Yeah, is it still thundering? No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, it just did. There was a huge thunder crack that just went through. No, what you said is absolutely right. It's what we have, what you call a higher self. I call it in my book, Foreseen a Future Self.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us has his or her incarnation from a future, from a time yet to be. That could be 10 years from now or 5 lifetimes from now, who communicates to the human being now here on Earth. And when you can listen to that, the New Age calls it the higher self. I like to call it the future self because the incarnation is already ready, and that incarnation talks back to you from the future and suggests what you could do to optimize your future in this life now, the next few years, as well as in the long chain of further incarnations to come. It's a big subject.
Yes. Some people
this...
some people have this a difficulty understanding when we say that time is really an illusion, that time is just a continuum of beingness, and that there is really no past and no present and no future except, you know, because just as I said that now, that becomes the past in that context. But this, if I look at...
Yes.
At my existence as a totality, then what you're talking about, the future is really maybe not forward or to the right or behind you or to the left, but it's above you maybe, and all encompassing at the same time. You want to comment
That's
on
right.
that?
Say again?
I said, would you like to comment on that?
That's right. What you said is exactly correct. It's a totality. And when you can see your whole life in its totality, the past incarnations and your recent past, the last 20 or 40 years, and this present future of a few more years or 20 years, and the future incarnations, which you can also see, when you can do all that and see it all as one totality, then you really see where you fit in. That's a huge subject. That's really what my books are talking about. And that's a little difficult in a sort of a radio conversation to explain. But once you are in that frame of mind and you see these subjects, then all the rest of it, what's going on here on the world stage, that's really secondary.
Okay. Now,
so I was saying before, yes, sure, you have to understand time is vertically stacked, actually.
Yes.
It bleeds in, and now with these interdimensional shift magnetic fields coming and enveloping the whole planet in it, we will see this more and more. We'll become more aware of what was really the past, other incarnations, what we are now or in the future, all the signs, the shamanic signs, the reading of situations, like you were saying, that you can see immediately what is true or not true when people say, we will be able to have, and we are already now, to have mind-to-mind contact without words written on emails or things said on the phone. We can communicate instantly with people all over the world, people we don't even know. So all of this is becoming more and more a new normality, a new reality. In astrology, there is an explanation for that. When you look at the position of Uranus now in Pisces, and the sun is moving over it on the 8th of March, just now in a week's time, there will be a realization moment for many around the world about what we just spoke about now.
Hmm.
And there is a degree illustration. You know, each one of the 360 degrees in the zodiac has a symbol, and each symbol has an illustration. There is an astrologer in Santa Fe who has done a lot of work illustrating all these degrees. His website is called zodiacdegrees.com. You can look up each degree. Like, say you have the sun on the 26th, 27th of November, so you're about 6 degrees Sagittarius. You look that up, and you have a degree illustration that gives you in a picture a little bit what that degree is about. So you begin to be able to illustrate your personality by the degrees in which all the planets were when you were born,
mm-hmm.
or the degrees in which planets are, like, say, now, today, as we're speaking, or tomorrow, in 10 days, or in 2 years. And so you can really visualize more and more what's going on in astrology in terms of what this actually means, because the words of astrology are very clumsy to communicate actually what we mean to say. So this Uranus position, that's 19 degree Pisces, by the way, the 19th degree, speaks about time travel and about the ability to have mind-to-mind telepathic communication going on. And I bet that the future machines, that's almost a prediction, like the new computer toys, the new iPhones, the new machinery to communicate, they will not be like by Apple, like iPhones or the kind of stuff that we have now in the next year. They will be more like crystal slates that automatically will have a resonance with the person that is handling the slate or the crystal or the machine, whatever it will be. And we will be able to access all information simultaneously from past, present, and future. We'll be literally becoming time travelers, and we'll be able telepathically via crystal slates to communicate all over the world and even off Earth to other planets. This may all sound crazy science fiction, but I'm actually very serious as I'm saying this now.
Sounds like
this
a digital...
I've lately started building resonators made of crystals and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that advanced scientists are going to go into this, and they will find whole new ways of computer languages and communicating. Entire reams of knowledges, you know, entire libraries will be communicated like with one touch of the finger on a crystal slate and be sent into the mind of some people somewhere.
It's amazing.
So this is all interesting stuff. We're moving into a really exciting time, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing what you're describing. I think it was about 2 years ago, in November, I had a vision of something similar to what you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
Although I came to understand or see, at least I was seeing these images of people sitting at something similar to a computer, but using water. If that makes sense. In other words, we're going to discover some things about water that...
That's possible. This is very well, what you just said, that makes sense. That just resonated as true, because when you read what Emoto can do with water, that you can actually think, send thought to the water and actually clean the lake or transform the drinking water into something, a better kind of water, I believe that's possible, that we'd be using probably water and crystal. Because crystal
mm-hmm.
has something to it that connects with the crystal in the human being and crystals off on other Earths and on this Earth. And water would be the conductor. That makes sense.
And
I'm saying the machines will be new aware machines.
Yes. Sort of like digital etch-a-sketches.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Pluto. I think it was Pluto. Maybe about half a year ago, I read something where these astronomers and scientists decided to downgrade Pluto as a planet. They said it didn't meet the qualifications of a planet. Do you think that was an attempt just to get people to not recognize the significance of Pluto in terms of astrology and astrophysics?
Yes, that's typical linear mind thinking of the scientists. They busy themselves with deciding if the thing should be called planet or asteroid. And it doesn't really matter. It can be called rock. It's an ice ball, really, is what it is, a very small piece of ice out
mm-hmm.
there. But what we see when we study astrology and cosmology, and we study really the parallels of human history on this planet compared to the aspects and geometric angles that Pluto does to other planets at any given time, we're quite capable of seeing parallels, we're able to see a pattern forming, in other words. Mm-hmm. And by extrapolating and extending this pattern, we can then say, yes, when Pluto makes a square to Uranus, like it will do now for the next 7 years, usually this and this happens.
Okay.
So what they have to say about what is called a asteroid planet or ice ball makes no difference to the energies that come from that rock of crystal.
Yes.
And when it does a certain angle to other planets and to the Earth, it seems that certain things are mirrored down. That's good enough for me to make trend predictions. But real astrology is way far more complex than what I even know. Real astrology, that too will discover a whole new, more than three-dimensional astrology that involves all the fixed stars, that involves so much more than we can find in books today. And this was all known, by the way, okay? All this stuff that you and I are talking about, by the way, this was known in Atlantis, it was known in Lemuria, it was known on planet Mars, where civilizations came from, or Sirius, or Aldebaran, the star, or many other star systems. All these things were very well known. I mean, the ETs that look at me from their invisible spaceships, the Nordics, they laugh mildly at our problems here. They say, yes, we've tried that a few times and you still don't grasp it. So while we are here trying to talk about things, I know they're looking through the window and saying, okay, in a few years we'll teach you more. So astrology is a very, you know, what we know as astrology here today is very rudimentary. It's like sort of a children's astrology.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the building blocks of everything. It's the geometry and cosmology. It's really where all the knowing and all the wisdom is encoded. And who and what did this, I don't know. But understanding it helps us a little more to make wiser decisions here. So it is useful. The position of Pluto, anyway, during the next 10, 15 years in Capricorn, will insist essentially on everything becoming useful for people. Things have to make sense. Even spirituality, all this New Age talk and all that stuff, it's all good and well, but it has to make sense. In other words, it has to become useful to people. If we can't be used, we can forget it and delete it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the times we are moving into are times of applied, practical solutions, all geared towards usefulness of making this planet heal itself and of building what I said, humanity beta version 2.0, the new mankind. This is what this is about the next 10 years. And
now,
for this we don't need governments, we don't need structures, we don't need a system. These are things that human beings can do among themselves.
Yes.
And for this we will probably have new communication tools, which will involve telepathy, like you said, water, and I add to this crystals, because I believe with crystals we can build time travel instruments, and we then ourselves become, again, time travelers, which is what we are. We are time travelers.
I was going to ask you, my next question was going to be just about that. You have been building super time travel resonators, as you call them. Now, when you call them the word super, how are you defining that? Does that mean very spectacular, or does that mean greater than, or is it all-encompassing?
Well,
for the listeners.
Well, it's both. They're beautiful to look at. For someone who is artistically inclined, I call them three-dimensional paintings. They're
mm-hmm.
somewhere between handheld, about 6 inches, you can hold in your hand in your pocket, up to 20-inch tall, like they look like little rocket boosters. And they're basically filled with crystals, amethysts, rocks. Some have gold coins in it or silver coins. Some have citrines or topaz or all different types of stones that I've collected and put together. But they're super resonators in the sense that they can actually, when you are in that still moment, which we were speaking about before, when you're what other people call meditation,
mm-hmm. or
in silence, communicating with other beings, invisible forces, Nordic ET spacecrafts, or just other invisible forces, or spirit forces, Vedic spirits, shamanic spirits, whatever the invisible world has to contribute, is better or easier done through crystals. The crystal becomes a mirror to you as you hold it in your hand, and your whole space becomes more conducive to having an intelligent communication with the invisible world around you. And I think that those who have already gotten a few of them have told me, those are clients, that their lives have changed in significant ways. But I can't say it's because of that that it's happened. I mean, I would never say as an assertion that if you have one of those, things will change. That depends really on you, what you do with it. It's your relation between you and the instrument called resonator that will create a magnetic field around you, which you can then use with your own consciousness that gets upgraded day by day. It's really a consciousness tool with which you then can manifest different results in your life. But the whole thing is one big experiment for me. So far, it's interesting. It's going well.
Yes, I'm very interested in that, and I know intuitively that it works. I guess for those that
haven't... Well, it was done by others. I had to study this. Tesla worked with crystals. He came up with all of his inventions and all his knowing by working with crystals. I cannot prove for sure, but I think Leonardo da Vinci also had crystals around him. And it is known that in Atlantis, the time travelers worked with huge crystal caves. They actually retreated inside of structures that were made only of crystal. There was very little metal. See, we live in this metal age now. All the gray technology, the technology of the grays, is metal-driven. Petroleum, metal, that's gray technology. Whereas typically Nordic and more advanced Pleiadian technology is crystal-based. Do you see what I mean?
Yes,
so if we can connect with this different material, we connect to them and their knowing, which is just light years further developed, further enhanced, you know.
Yes. I made it's a couple of years ago. I've made several of these, actually. I made myself a new Atlantean power rod. I don't know if you've ever seen those.
Yes, they look, actually, some people call my tools wands because they're just sort of rocket booster type, but I have small ones too that are just handheld, and they are in resin. I put them inside of resin, but I see what you're describing. Those are tools by which you change literally the energy around you and inside of you.
Yes, and I use this also for healing, and what's amazing is...
Hello?
My pets can, yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Don, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oops.
I'm still here, Michael. Stay with us.
Do you think they have to reestablish the connection?
No, we're okay, Michael. We're still here.
There's nothing.
Okay. Are you still there?
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right. What I was about to say, we're going to experience some anomalies because we're talking about some heavy stuff here. So.
Yes, and the storm here in Europe was pretty thunderous.
Okay.
Go ahead. You were saying that you were building a rod. You were telling me that you had been building your own Atlantis rod.
Yes, and it's loaded with crystals, and of course it has a double terminated crystal on the end, and as I used it, it became clearer and clearer. I intentionally used one with inclusions so that I could witness the stages that it went through as I put energy into it or directed energy through it. And
that's right. You could see the changes happening inside the storm.
Yes. And
yes.
I would have, let's say, people at my studio would see this, and they would ask me what that was, and I'd tell them what I use it for. And you can see it in action when one of my pets is sleeping. All I have to do is aim it at their ear, and you'll see the ear twitch. It's pretty funny to see, but, you know, you can see actual response when it's used by
yes,
the unsuspecting.
Definitely.
So so I know that it works. And I've used it to manifest things for other people as well as for myself.
Yes.
So I'm very interested in seeing your time travel resonators. And now I'm going to, with your permission, I'm going to post the picture you sent me on my website. I think it would... If you want to send me some information on them,
I will. It's on my website, passage11.com,
Mm-hmm.
There's a work that it says gallery, resonators. There are many pages of them. I sent you, I believe, a group picture where there are about 8 of them found out on the cobblestones. Yes, that's a pretty one. And on the site, there are many. Each one is photographed.
Now, does it come with that watch that's in the picture? Or
No, the red-faced watch I put there so people get an idea of how tall they are.
Yes, I understand.
Just to give an idea of, they are between 6 and 20 inches so far.
Okay.
But I'm doing new ones. I'm doing new ones because the clients give me feedback and they say, okay, this works with that. This creates change of health. This one works more for prosperity, etc. I mean, but I believe it depends on the person's mindset and mm-hmm. how the person's consciousness interacts with the crystals, the amethysts, and the different stones. It's a relationship between the instrument and the person.
Do you think that they are multifaceted? In other words, you might be able to use them for health and abundance and maybe creativity or developing your metaphysical gifts, let's say?
Yes. So yes, certainly they're multifaceted. I'm saying that basically the individual will take the tool into his hands or hands and then look into the crystals until there's no more thought. I think what's important is when you stare into the instrument, into the tool, you establish a relationship with the stones until you are no longer thinking. That's very important. As long as the machine called mind spews out thoughts, not much happens. Okay, that's very important. That's why the meditation thing, etc., is another subject. But you need to really come into a thoughtless state where there's only silence. Then you are typically able to receive messages from it. So it acts like an obsidian mirror in the ancient times. And I feel that these crystals have relationships with other crystals around the world and even with ET ships. You know, the big advanced crafts are really built by crystals. It's crystals that drive the ships. And the ships are even in thought form. They're not even three-dimensional. And once you realize all that, you then go to that level where you can almost command the crystal to give you messages or to answer questions to your mind and to begin manifesting things out of your own thought form. So
now,
this can be then applied to anything that you mentioned, from healthcare to getting healthy, to working with the tool as a healing instrument, to changing your mindset, to raising your consciousness, bringing more awareness, to have relationship with ET ships, Nordics, Pleiadians, you name it, all the way to very practical things, creating wealth around you, etc. I mean, there's no limit. That depends then on you and the crystal, between you and the crystal. It's the relationship that does that.
Yes, you were speaking about the importance of stilling the thoughts. Now, I would presume, and this is for the benefit of the listeners out there, many people, mm-hmm. when they reach that point, those that have attempted to go into meditation, when they first experience thought ceasing, there's sort of a panic until they become accustomed
to that. Right.
Because that is that the point where we stop identifying with the false self or the ego.
Yes.
And so you know that experience, I'm sure, when you were first learning to meditate, the body jumps or you go into shock, almost like when you're falling asleep at night and you have this start that wakes you up. Maybe because you projected astrally and something scared you, something frightened you.
That's right.
So the stillness of mind is the key to activating the resonator then.
Yes, that's absolutely necessary. As long as you have thoughts running through your head, there's not much intelligent interaction happening between the tool and you, I've experienced. You have to seriously be... You have to be able to find that point of silence, but it's not meditation, and I don't believe you can do it through techniques. I'm more one of these Krishnamurti-type students who, you know, Krishnamurti said all of these techniques, you can really forget them. The techniques are not what's going to change this world. This is all inside of yourself, but the one instrument by which you will get there is silence in the mind. And then there's also timelessness. You're outside of time, outside of thought, which is the same. Time is thought. And then interesting things start beginning to happen around you and the resonator and the crystals.
And
then you actually become a time traveler, and you can go through to places, because it isn't so much that the ships, the crafts, the ETs, and we travel from a place to a place, although that too, but we do this via time travel. Actually, we're more time travelers than space travelers.
Yes. It's more a state of being than doing.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Now,
That whole subject is better explained than I can now recall in an interview with you in the book Foreseen and also in Zen of Stars. That's in those two books that I've written about the Master of the Light. That's where these subjects are explained in a more coherent way. And the tool, the instrument that I built was an idea of getting something down to earth into the hands of people that can use it, that can actually work with it.
Something
but the
practical.
Book is called a theory, because I don't believe we can understand things through books. You know, it's just another book, and the knowledge does not come through books.
Yeah.
Inside of you, you have to waken up the knowledge inside of your own DNA, and I found crystals can be helpful for that.
Well, we can do a little commercial right here for a moment to give you a chance to take a sip of water or something if you want, or coffee.
Okay.
Or,
yes.
We're not gonna go away, but I'll just let the listeners know. Michael's website is Passage 11. That's the number 11. Passage11.com. And when you click on that, you'll actually see his IP address come up in front of that. Don't be startled. That's the correct place. And he's got a wonderful website. Very positive. Very uplifting. He's got samples of his writings there. Also, on my website, I put a link. If you go to directlightproductions.com, he is on my links page under Michael St. Clair. It will take you to his website, as well as on my books page. And, at the top of any of my web pages, there is a menu that you can click on, books, and you will see two of his books listed there. Zen of Stars and Foreseen, and the links to his site are there, or the links to get his book is also there. So that will take you to lulu.com. But if you want to take a look at some of what the book is about, he's got some samples there for you. He has reviews. Michael is known throughout the world, and in fact, some of his clients or some of his friends who come from readership or who have done business with him in one manner or another have even contacted me, and I've struck up some friendships with a few people. So I recommend you going to passage11.com and checking out his site. You can also, when you're visiting directlightproductions.com, check that out, as well as podcasts. I've got a few of Michael's shows up there on my podcast, and we will be putting the archives of this show tonight up very soon, and you can let your friends know about listening to that as well. And we are going to continue our discussion now about some really interesting things here. I want to get, are you back with us, Michael?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay, good. I gave you a chance to get a breather there for a second.
Yes, and indeed, there are many of the written things, like you said, a lot of it is for free. Okay, people don't need to buy anything. There's a lot of thousands of pages in my websites. Actually, there are 4 or 5 websites, but they're all accessible via passage11.com.
Yes.
It's sort of a maze. It's like a very large labyrinth, and a lot of stuff is for free. All the knowledge is there, okay?
Yes. I don't know if you had a chance to visit my site, but my site has grown exponentially.
Yes, I did.
It's been getting better.
Yes, no, your work is amazing. What you did in terms of tracking the history, the proper, the true history, etc. It's amazing. But, you know, a client told me the other day, she has one of the resonators. She said, you know, and she's very advanced. She reads everything. She said, you know, what was cutting-edge information 1 year ago seems obsolete today. And we're very advanced in our knowledge. So we're saying, yes, the next day will bring a ton more of information. Mm-hmm. So it never stops, you know.
And that's true.
Yes.
That will be happening very soon, I guarantee you.
Yes, it happens day by day, literally. Okay, so I'll hang on until the commercial is done, yes?
Oh, no, I just did the commercial. So.
Oh, you did that?
Yes, I just did a live one there for you. Just a little ad for your books. And I guess
thank you so much.
Now the people can also order these super time travel resonators from you as well. Now, is there do they request anything specific from you, or do you want to know a little bit about their personality or their astrological sign or anything like that?
Yes, I have two ways to go. There are about, right now, there are about 8 or 9 up, but I have to say they are very expensive, okay? Those are not, a book you can get for like $20, but the cheapest resonator is like €900 or $1,400, and it goes up from there. It's a lot of work, I have to say, okay, this is a lot of work that goes into this, and the materials are very expensive to get, so that's not just for anybody, unfortunately. But I have two ways to do. You can either order them, just as they are there via PayPal, or you can write to me and say your birthday and your astrology, and usually it's clients who get this, because usually I know the person, and we've already done some work together, and then they want one. And sometimes I do them on order. A person will say, I prefer amethyst to citrine, or I want more crystal, or I want more this or that, or I want a gold coin in it, or a silver coin. So I do them also in cooperation with the client, like to order. Each piece is unique. I mean, nothing is ever duplicated. Mm-hmm. I do them by hand myself. It takes a while to do. So I can do either way. But there are some that can be ordered now that are online. There'll be a few more next week.
Well, I think regardless of what the price is, if someone can learn to time travel, it's probably priceless anyway. So.
That's right. Time travel is priceless. Well said. That's really true. That is totally outside of any price. And this is what's going to help us. You know, I'm serious about this time travel business. I figured that out. It is all about time travel. And these whole next 10 years with Pluto in Capricorn and the positions of Neptune going into Pisces soon, these are signatures purely of time travel. When you think about that, all of the knowledge in the stars and in the crystals and in the stardust and in ourselves, because we're made of crystals too, the trees are, everything's made of crystal, the DNA even. So all of this points to one thing, the ability to move through time and become a time traveler. While we're here, we can do this while we're alive on this earth, while asleep, and even while awake. We are constantly mm-hmm. surrounded by the invisible world, which is a time-traveling entity world, because they're not from here, they're not from this world or from this time, and yet they're here in our space, maybe as far, as close as 4 or 5 feet, maybe as far as, you know, 2 kilometers or 5 miles or whatever. But these forces are around us, with us, and they're all time-travelers, and they are trying to teach us this. Can you hear
yes.
me?
Yes, yes, I can hear you. You know what comes to mind, and I have astral traveled as well as you have, and I have done it in different ways. I have actually been able to put my consciousness somewhere without really leaving my body. I think you know that experience.
Yes. Yes.
And I have visited places like Mars, for example, and there are some listeners out there that think, you know, what is this guy drinking tonight? You know, I'm drinking coffee.
yes. No, this is correct. Of course you were on Mars. So was I. And the little boy in Moscow, he's 12 years old now. He tells Kerry Cassidy on the video about his life on Mars, what he remembers as a 12-year-old. And he remembers less and less when he was really young, like 6, 7 years old. he was telling people stuff. I mean, it was out there. And it's, you know, what would he have known different? I mean, he was just telling them how Atlantis was built, how Lemuria was, how life was there. He was basically explaining to them his entire knowledge of all his incarnations. Mm-hmm. So who is to question that? All you can be is grateful that there is one guy like this, you know, brave or naive enough or truthful enough to just tell what he knows. Now, at 12 years of age, he's becoming aware that he may not fit in so well, so he's more careful what he says.
Yes.
And that's what happens to all of us. As children, we remember everything, and then we have to fit into this mad world, and we begin to forget everything. So now we have to re-remember it again and activate it.
Yes. Well, if my...
So you were on Mars, I don't doubt.
Yes. And Bill Ryan, in fact, when Bill and Carrie were on my show, Bill asked me my perceptions, my feelings about Mars. And I told him, I know that there is blue sky, and there is blue water, and there are plants and animals, and there are buildings, skyscrapers, boats, all kinds of craft for moving around. There are glass tubes that go underground. There is life there. And I said this very, very authoritatively, very convincingly, and recently, some pictures came out. I don't know if you know of this website. You may want to make a note of it. MarsAnomalyResearch.com.
Yes.
There are some fantastic...
No, I have not seen it, no.
Fantastic pictures of Mars describing what I just described to you.
Yes.
There's evidence of some bipedal creatures, we'll call them, because the photographs are taken from a distance. But if there's one image that looks somewhat like a Yeti, we could say, like the ones that Lobsang T. Rampa talked about in his books.
Yes.
And there's an individual near that entity lying on a rock. It looks like a human with a bald head just sunning on this rock.
I think I've seen the picture on another site, yes. Well, no, it's obvious. Of course, there's life there. I mean, these things are now so clear. Even NASA is starting to let a few things out. I mean, there's more and more of these subjects that we're talking about tonight are becoming more and more mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen, for instance, on another note, this. I'm sure you followed that story about the Svalbard island on the Arctic Circle with the gene bank.
Mm-hmm.
On Norway, out from Norway up north in the Arctic Circle, there's this whole installation. This story is floating now through the official news channels of European internet carriers, like, for instance, bluewind.ch, which is the Swiss equivalent of AOL.com, has that story right up front. So, I mean, more and more of the subjects that you and I talk about are making it with a time delay of 1 to 2 years into mainstream. So we are just at the forefront of bringing our findings and our research to people, and then, you know, people can check with their own internal guidance, and they can say, does this resonate as something that I know about or not?
It's as though we're...
not trying to convert anyone to anything.
I was going to say, it's as though we are becoming the new mainstream.
Yes, that's right. We are way showers, you know. That's what we do. We go find things, and we bring it back, and then people make up their own minds. I was just saying, in general now, what we need to do in the next few years up to January 2011, we still have some time, we need to make certain practical preparations, and for this we need to understand the economy. We do have to have a basic knowledge of a few worldly things, such as medicine, alternative medicine, astrology a little bit, economy, what's really going on. So we need to know how things work in order to prepare ourselves intelligently. And then each one can make his own preparations or her own world together with friends. I think it's important that people network themselves into little groups of like-minded people to follow their joint interests.
Yes, that's becoming... very, very obvious. And I think we don't necessarily have to set or put that network together with the same model that we have now. That's the one thing.
No. Yes, that's self-organizing. These things will come about on their own in their own time the way it's meant to be. The less structure, the less organization, the better.
Yes, and people will actually just know that inner voice inside will tell them this is right. This is going to lead to a benefit in the long run, as opposed to continuing this path of making mistakes and repeating the mistakes over and over.
That's right.
It won't mean we're perfect, but I think we're moving toward perfection, at least as far as we can comprehend that word.
Yes, well, that's what we're here for. We're here for these lessons. This has all been laid out for us. It's one giant experiment. And now mankind is beginning a whole new experiment, probably beginning in the next, I would say, 4 to 5 years. Something completely new will begin, which is really, like I said, the 2.0 version, the next level. And for this, we're preparing. That's why we're here. This is certainly one of the most interesting times to have come here.
Now, there is a story I wanted to mention to you. I don't know if you've read the story about Project Superman and Andy Perot. He was someone that became part of the Montauk experiment, and they developed him through the assistance of a German intelligence agent who worked directly with Andy. Andy was sort of taken out of the athletic program. He was to attend the University of Pennsylvania as a football player. So he was quite a physical specimen, and they gradually turned him into this super human being. Of course, all the mind control, the compartmentalization of the mind, the programming, and he became quite indestructible, actually. Just a superhuman being. And one of the things they had him do was to manifest physical objects. It was a sort of teleportation, if you want to call it that, but it was creative teleportation. He could manifest large diamonds, for example. You know, the size of a bowling ball.
That's possible.
Yes.
Yes, that's possible. The ancient Tibetan masters knew how to do that too. They could manifest via thought form mountains, and yes, that's totally doable. Yes.
Boy, we could do that with the government. Just think how we could create utopia, couldn't we?
Well, that's what's going to happen. I suppose that in the next few years, some of us will literally create our own, what we said, radiant zones, islands of light, our new ways of living. This has to be like this. I mean, if it is so that we are going to face these earth changes, of which we're talking about, the levels of water rising, the storms, the high winds, and the destruction that goes with it, we will then have to equally make up by a thought form our own new structures.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty confident about that. But I'm not aware of the story that you mentioned about this fellow in Pennsylvania.
He's been all over the place, actually. But you could Google Andy Perot, P-E-R-O, or Project Superman. And it's a very, very fascinating story. And it's got multi facets to it as well. It's been out there for some time.
And he was one of the Montauk.
He was sort of a private project that they had worked on. In the beginning, he was at one point they threw him out of an airplane. This was to impress a senator about the success they had made in this program and the advancements they had made in this technology. They threw him out of an airplane at 10,000 feet, and he landed and passed out. He sort of wrenched his knees, which is quite understandable. This was without a parachute, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the senator said some things like, "You brought me here to see this. How dare you waste my time like this?" And he came to and got up and walked up to the men, and they funded this research even more after that. They were just totally amazed. They hadn't suspected that he had advanced that much. But he got to be so powerful that several times they tried to kill him, and they couldn't even kill him. So we know that the government has experimented with these technologies, but they've used it for nefarious purposes.
Yes, and those are very dark subjects. Well, that's what they did with the Grays. The Grays gave them technologies to basically control all of humanity, but that will not last. That will all be cleaned up in the next few years.
Yes. Now, that is the reason, then, why we are experiencing all of this disinformation to keep us off track, to keep us,
yes,
let's say, in fear, in these lower vibrations, so that they can possibly succeed. But I don't see that happening. I don't see them succeeding.
No, they will not. They know that. They know from their own time travel devices, from their own research, Looking Glass, etc., they know that it is their end. That's why they are trying all this. What I don't understand is why the governments, the younger people in governments, are still part of this, why they can't understand that this is all doomed to fail and that they don't have a chance. In other words, it's not even in their interest to cooperate with that.
Yes, well, part of the reason for that, I think, and I may not be telling you anything you don't know, I think you may be saying you don't understand that. You're speaking more on the spiritual level, but in this matrix, they bring people who have been indoctrinated into the matrix. In other words, they adhere to the bloodlines, they adhere to the programming at an early age. They measure people, let's say, for their psychic gifts or their intelligence or their particular talent that they have, and they look to see how they can apply that talent to the whole mission. There may
yes.
be some 10 million people who have been through this program, if not more, and they're sort of lying in wait, waiting to be activated by their particular individual or collective codes.
Yes.
I mean, that's a very real situation in their paradigm.
That is real, yes. That's the hybrid program. I mean, we have among what looks human, unfortunately, more non-humans. I know this is a complex subject that's in the book Foreseen. We have, after 60 years of hybrid programming of the reptilians and greys, a lot of people who look on the face of it human who are actually deformed. You can sometimes even see physical deformities, but you will certainly see from the behavior that they are not quite human, that there is hybrid reptilian or grey programming in it.
Oh yes,
yeah, that is true. Yes,
it makes its appearance on YouTube very, very frequently too. These
yes,
phenomena
yes.
show up on the video.
But you have, on the other hand, on the upside, you have now also the Indigo Children, people like Boris Kiprianovich in Moscow, and many of those, the Buddha Boy in Nepal. You have this whole new generation that's coming in, that are people who have genetics or DNA from Nordics or Pleiadians or other advanced races that can deal with this, because we have dealt with the greys on other planets. We know what this is about. This is not something to be too frightened about, because these degenerated elements like the greys, the reptilians, are really on their way out. And some of the more advanced reptilians even see the point of, if one can say, redeeming themselves karmically and helping some of us in ways they can, to not just to survive what's coming, but to actually intelligently work around the problem that you described.
Mm-hmm.
So there is good news in all of this, you know.
Yeah. Do you see many of them coming to that realization? Or, and I know you
no.
can't speak for them, but...
No, there are very few. There are very few that are in the fourth dimensional realm. It can't really be explained properly. It's not visible, but their energies are here, and they communicate in a sense to say, okay, we know that we have messed up over thousands of years this entire planet and the whole galaxy, and we've tried to to hybridize a master race, and it didn't work. The whole thing actually got worse and worse. And now, 60 years after it's known that it was done here on Earth, they say, okay, this whole program is going nowhere. Actually, it's getting out of their control. They're saying these things, they don't behave the way we tell them to. They actually malfunction, and now we need help. So it's at that point that we have actually help from them showing us how to move around all that. But on the upside, there are other souls coming in, young people with highly advanced gifts that are not of this earth and that can work through this. They will teach us, and we will be able to show people how to move through the times that are coming now. And all this is soon. You know, we're talking, like I said, 2011. It's in the next 40 months. So it's the present time we're talking about.
So the message is get your act together, folks. start searching within. A good starting point would be to read Zen of Stars and Foreseen, right? And then
yes, some of it is discussed. There's a lot of astrology in it. I've discussed the years ahead up to about 2050, and particularly that zone, because it's a zone of time between now, 2008-09, all the way to 2017-20. In 2020, we will have an alignment Pluto, Saturn, and other planets in Capricorn, which is sort of the conjunction that will bring this time to an end and begin the next round. It's not really in 2012. 2012 is an apex time. It's sort of a central time. But the bigger changes are actually also afterwards, 2013, 14, all the way to 17. And then by 2020, things will normalize where we can begin the really good things. But we have to prepare now.
Now, for the listener out there that is wondering what is going to happen on December 21st, and you knew this question was coming up, 2012, and I find that that's an interesting date because of the numbers. You know, you have 1221, which is the mirroring of the number 12, or the mirroring of the 21, however you look at it, and then another 12 at the end.
Yes.
With that two in the middle.
Well, I've done the chart. I've discussed the astrological chart in the Western and Vedic manner, the way we can see it, and it's explained in the book, Zen of Stars. The time is actually not a bad moment at all, apart from the square between Pluto and Uranus, which is volatile, which is very tense.
So, sure,
in the outside world, I expect we will see more wars, more conflict, all that stuff will continue to go on, and we'll certainly see mega storms larger than Katrina, rising water levels, probably melting ice, etc. So, in other words, we'll see a climate change that becomes more and more acute than it is now. That's so much for the outer world. But on the other side of the coin, we will see dimensional changes. That means we will feel them, we will sense it. It's not something we can see and describe, although we will see other trees, other animals, humans with more advanced facilities, etc. It's hard to say that on that day something happens. I think nothing more or less spectacular would happen. It's not that you can point to a day and say, this is it, this is now the day. It's an ongoing process, of which 2012, in my opinion, is somewhere in the middle. So it began, say, about 5 years ago already, and it comes to a close, I would say, in around 2017, 18, or say 5-6 years after 2012. And the new alignment, the much more important alignment, would be in 2020. So that's about 11 years from now. So I cannot answer you on that 21st of December 2012. There are theories which say that there will be this Planet X discussion, this rock coming in between the solar system. I don't believe it. I don't see it like that. At least my seeing does not, I don't manifest it like that. I say there is an interdimensional, hyperdimensional magnetic shift that's enveloping the whole solar system, and that the Earth will have probably a slight pole shift, slight, okay, nothing dramatic, but it will cause changes in temperatures, changes in sea rises, a certain amount of destruction in cities, etc. Maybe electricity goes out completely, but we will have other forms of energy that we can tap into now and that we have to look into free energy and produce it. So there are all these changes, but that's a zone of change of about 10 years, with which comes also a higher level of awareness and consciousness shifts. And that's why I said it's really the inner changes. We have to observe ourselves more than the outside world, because it's only from within that we can address it even.
Yes.
So the answer is, I don't see a particular change on that day. I'm saying there is a whole range of changes over a span of time of about 10 years from now up to 2020.
Mm-hmm.
The alignments.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to make a comment, and you kind of explained that. You explained, say, 5 years prior to that time, and another 5 years or so after that time. It's as though that date is sort of a cusp between two periods of time that really are connected. And it's like a marker in the middle of the road, so to speak.
Yes, that's right. That's the way to look at it. And if I can say what I really see happening or sense, it's a sensing, a feeling, is that there is, okay, this magnetic shift. I don't have the physical verbiage, the language for it in scientific terms, but there is what I think is going on. There is a hyperdimensional change, a shift in the magnetic field, not just around the Earth, but around other planets too. That's why you can see so-called global warming on Jupiter, in Mars, in everywhere, okay? That's not just here. And this is why it's also not man-made. These stories that it's man-made here, that's complete rubbish. It's just a whole energy shift coming to us or through which we are moving. And that presses maybe on the atmosphere, on the troposphere, and pushes and pulls on the layer that surrounds the planet.
The vortex.
That causes and changes. Yes, that's what it is. And that's why I'm saying it is inter- or hyperdimensional. It's not a physical object or any. All these subjects that we're discussing, one cannot understand them with primitive physics, like three-dimensional physics, like an object moves here and this causes that. That's just not what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about action at a distance. It's about quantum physics. It's about things that we don't even have words for. But the Greys know a lot of that stuff, and they gave a lot of the technology into government hands where it's being used for nefarious purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to find ways of finding other more peaceful technologies from other civilizations, Pleiadians, Nordics, etc., and work that into our essence. And that's what's going on with these new children coming here, because they come with the knowledge. So
yes.
I'm still very positive about everything. I mean, we have to be realistic, of course. We have to strike a balance between, okay, on the one end, I say we can't just be naysayers and say, no, this won't happen for the sake of being positive. But we have to also not deny that certain things are changing. So we have to have we have to strike a certain balance by being positive but alert as well, knowing certain things are going to change our lives from the outside world, to which we can, however, only respond intelligently when we have built up our own inner changes that are ongoing, which is what you said. We have to find the point of stillness, be that through meditation or through whatever we want, and from inside grow or develop spiritually to even be able to address intelligently the outside changes that are coming.
Yes. I'd like to comment on one thing you said, and then I would like to make another comment and get your feedback on that. I agree with what you're saying about the whole solar system is warming up, and it's not something that's necessarily caused by man. It's the fact that these energies are coming here and they're influencing the planets. There's a big change taking place. And so we have Al Gore, who invented the Internet. We have him to thank for the global warming rumor.
You see, Al Gore probably knows the truth. but he can't say what I'm telling you tonight. He probably knows what's really true, but he's a forerunner, so he gives the people an explanation. So I'm not against him. I'm just saying, of course, his explanation is ridiculous, and he knows that, okay? I'm sure that he must laugh at it himself in his quiet time. Sure, it doesn't help that we pollute the world, you understand? Of course, it's bad that we use oil and that stuff, and that's not going to help matters more, but it's minute compared to the actual huge cosmic change that's coming, of which I'm sure he knows a great deal about, but cannot talk yet.
Yes.
So instead, you and I talk about it.
So we just that's give him credit for creating the Internet and leave it at that.
Yes. Actually, the Internet was created by the guy who worked at CERN in Geneva, Tim Berners-Lee. And he did a masterful job, because that was another one of those secret projects that was never to go out. But he decided, why not give this to everybody? Because he probably was guided in the proper way to decide this needs to go to the people without any fees, without any money involved, so as to make it possible that all the knowledge that's here on this planet can be shared by anyone. So that was an absolute masterstroke. And I'll go help them to use it better, that's true. His explanation about the global warming is really not on, but it helped at least create awareness. It just would be better that the awareness is created with the correct explanations.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's a sort of a disinformation that's halfway valuable and halfway misleading. You know how it is. It's always misinformation, disinformation. Comes always with some truth and then a lot of non-truths to it.
Now, my
the
question...
The changes are due to hyperdimensional magnetic field shifts. That's how I see it.
Yes. My question is prefaced with a comment, and I take this from my personal experience. I can see myself at some point, and not too far in the distant future, in terms of this timeline that we're on right now, that my role will be one of healing with music, and lifting, but it'll be multidimensional. It won't just be physical healing of diseases or strengthening of the immune system, but it will be more of an expansive type of music. And I will not be alone in this, of course. I don't mean to say that I will be the only one doing this. There will be many who will be doing this, and we are going to come to a point where music is going to become, what would you call it? It's going to be the reality of our connection with the universe. Now, art will be the same way. Poetry and the things that are part of anything inspirational that comes from the universal mind, let's say, will take on a new importance. Do you see anything like that in what you've seen?
Yes, that will happen. That it's already happened. The fact that you're doing it is proof that it is happening, because you know that sound heals. And you can look at the wingmakers.com website. They also have music, sound, the pictures, the poetry. All this is integrated. I see a place where we will have... it's not so much a vision. I'm actually working on it. It's a place where people can come and look at paintings and crystal resonators and stones and the sound in it, and maybe a movie or a DVD or something to explain our whole existence here, what this is about. And they walk out of that after 2 hours, like a little gallery or museum, and they walk away from it, quote unquote, healed. So the trauma of being human to be here on this earth will be then deleted and replaced by another outlook, so to be able to go about doing new things in a new manner. Yes, that's coming from there are many, there are thousands of people at work on this all over the world.
Now, we are thousands of years, well, in some cases, maybe just 1,000 years, but in terms of some societies in the universe, we are thousands of years, or even billions, of years behind in experience and in knowledge and wisdom. It's a long road that we have to go to catch up to where they are. And not that there's a competition per se. We tend to think of things in terms of being, you know, the best at everything we do. That's part of this, this reality here. But we are going to come to an understanding, I think, where the relevance of that is going to sink in, and we will be more receptive to learning and creating. And how have you seen in our future? How do you see us handling that that reality or that realization that we are not the most intelligent? And coming to grips with the fact that we've been lied to, not in a revengeful way, I'm saying, but just coming to that reality. Do you see the realization being an impetus to propel us faster into a higher consciousness?
Well, I think that we can, when in contact intelligently with these more advanced groups, or species, or races. You know, we're all humans. I mean, the word human is kind of meaningless. We're beings, okay? The Nordics are beings, the Pleiadians, and we are, and they're, of course, they're more advanced in the sense that they have figured a lot of things out, from the spiritual to the highly technological, and they have no conflict. I think it's just we need to figure out to live without conflict in our own selves and with the people around us, and then that's already a great improvement. How we cope with this, I don't know, we just have to take it one day at a time and keep an aim at making our lives better. And then when we do that, when each one does this where he or she is and with a few friends, that's good enough. We don't need to, it's not our job to change the world as such, you know. We just have to change ourselves. I believe that's what we're here for. And then some of us will go back to the other races. I guess they send us here to go help out or to check out how it's here. I don't know. I know it's a big subject. Some of it I answered somehow in my books, but there is a progression that we will go back to where we came from, where there are the more advanced creations going on. And our job here is to bring that knowledge from there here.
Mm-hmm. What I know, Michael, is that the condition, or one of the conditions for us moving and being accepted into this higher galactic order or federation, if you want to call it that, is the cessation of conflict here. You know, we have to stop all of this genocide of the people through wars and the poisoning of our society and the deception and the lying. I mean, we have to become real about things.
Yes.
Now, in your visions, have you seen how this is going to come about, or have you seen things in a timeline, personally for yourself, or heard this from others?
Pieces of it I know. I know that within 10 years, some of us will have very advanced sort of mini civilizations going on. And we will be in touch, we are in touch, with advanced races. They look after us, they protect us, they're pointing out what's going to happen, and they say, watch out for this or that. And we are guided to do the right things. It's a relatively short experiment while we're here, in this lifetime here. We have maybe another 40 years or so, some of us. The younger ones maybe 60 years, but this is all a blip in the bigger picture, because we are always eternal. We are going to move on. What I have seen is that after the so-called Earth changes, there will be new structures of, not cities, but new ways of living. Like, for instance, in the airport, there is quite clearly a presence of a very advanced extraterrestrial influence that is building in the etheric realm a new city where people function in a very peaceful way. Business gets transacted, trading happens between other planets and other interstellar traffic via time travel. All of these things, the transmission of knowledge, as you were saying, to be real, etc., will happen still here over the next 10, 20 years. That's in the process.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking now about visions which are, some of them are timeless. That could be in another lifetime or two, you know, in 200 years or so.
Yes.
But the beginning of this change is now. We're still going to live through the initial stages of the good, great changes coming in the next 10, 20 years. The result of what would be new, I think, honestly, that's in our human time calculation 200 years from now. So we'll be coming back again, maybe. Mm.
Now, so if we're able to collectively as a society on this planet move into that, you think it's possible we might find Osama bin Laden sitting underneath the tree, sort of like the Buddha?
That's a good idea, yes.
We can
know
be
a lot
positive.
Of us.
Yes.
Yes. No, yes. We have to. I mean, otherwise, well, what else? What choice do we have? This is choiceless awareness. Okay, we know what is right action. There is no choice. It's not like this New Age teaching that we have wise choice. We have no choice but to have right action. It's choiceless awareness to be, as you said, each one of us can be the Buddha.
Yes. Or of course, we can choose to act like Christ as well.
I'm sorry, I said, like any one of the sages, they all were time travelers, by the way. They all came from very advanced civilizations. There are always a few of them per lifetime who come here, or per century or so, and they teach a few things. Usually they get rejected or misunderstood and misquoted. But we have now reached a point where each one of us can be all of that, partly thanks to the internet, where via linear thought the knowledge can be immediately made accessible to be read, etc. But as I said, with the inter-hyperdimensional shifts, we can literally suck it out of the air into the DNA. So it's all available through the crystals, through the air changes, through it's with us constantly.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to be sure
and
to
I think
send
this is happening now. As every month goes by, more and more of this intensity is coming in, and people are really realizing this, and some are putting it to use.
Yes, yes, definitely. You know, that's a theme of the network that you're on right now. This radio show is on a network that is very spiritual, and there's a lot of really valuable teaching about spirituality.
Yes.
Now, there were different methods of being employed, but they all have a certain validity for those that listen to them and those that find some meaning there.
That's right. Each one should just take what works. I like that there is that choice. I like this about the network, that is geared towards this choice of methods. But as I said earlier on, it's not the methods that matter. You'll find that out. You know it. Anyway, everyone has this in themselves. But it's a good thing that it's there, and each one should just use what works for them.
Mm-hmm.
And put now, it to good use. You know?
Speaking of this network, do you know many people in Europe who are listening to BBSradio.com? Or Evident Footprints?
I don't know for sure, but I have certainly passed emails out to a number of people. I think it is listened to everywhere more and more, and that's up to us. You and I can do that because we have a lot of people who are friends whom we know, so we can pass the word and we can do it again. It's just that I have been so busy the last few months, we were not able to really do it.
Well, I'm curious. You know, it's not that I'm pushing you to be an ambassador, but that can
part I will do it. We are talking to a lot of people, and people will listen more and more.
Yes, it's important. I know from my perspective, and I get email from some pretty famous journalists around the world. I got one series of emails from a well-known journalist in Bulgaria that was wondering if I was Bulgarian, and I had to disappoint her and tell her, no, I'm Macedonian, but it's next-door neighbors, you know.
No, BBS will be listened to, your shows will be listened to all over the world that speak or can understand English, of course.
Yes, and of course I can speak a couple of other languages, you know, throw some words out there to make them feel more comfortable, too. But
yes.
But the language, obviously, for me, flows best in English. You know, speaking of languages, and this is a thing about, you know, the time I spent in Europe, I was thinking in Swiss German when I was living in Switzerland. After 2 years, I would laugh at myself. I'm thinking in Swiss German. I'm talking out loud to myself.
You have that language gift.
And it's the same with French or Italian or German. You know, High German, Hochdeutsch.
Yes, yes.
Same thing. Same.
After a while, I start thinking in the language. I mean,
that's also
when we become aware that language is a barrier to understanding.
Yes, and this is kind of what I was describing about the role that music is going to play. That it's going to transcend these constructs, these boundaries that we have. And I think all art forms will be doing that. People will be, instead of lining up to get into the fast food places and maybe to be at these sporting events, which are really diversions from more important things, they will be flocking for that nourishment, you know, for that soul food, so to speak.
Yes, of course, they will have no choice, and music is one of the best carriers, paintings, anything that opens really the third eye.
Yes. Well, we are coming to the point of the show that makes me want to cry, especially, you know.
That went fast. 2 hours went by very fast.
Oh, it went very fast.
But we'll do it again if you want.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to. And I know you've been busy, but, you know, you keep in touch with me. I'm interested in checking out one of your time travel resonators. And I will reciprocate. I will send you a whole library of my healing music and have you evaluate it. See if you can figure out a way to store it in a crystal or something. That might be interesting.
Yes, I'll do that. We'll stay in touch, and I'll send you the books ahead, and we'll do all that via email, okay?
Okay, and you have to promise us that you'll come back on the show again soon.
Yes, I do that. Absolutely.
Okay, Michael, it's been an absolute joy to have you on the show tonight, and I wish you the best. I know you've been working very hard. Get some rest, and start walking the talk.
Yes. Thank you very much for everything.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show. And I'm going to sign off here to the audience. You hang on, though. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And our special guest for this two-hour special was none other than Michael St. Clair. You can tell your friends about the archives. You can go to bbsradio.com. Sometime tomorrow, they should be up for your listening pleasure and for your edification. And I hope everyone has a great weekend. And I'm going to wish everyone peace, love, and light, and a very good night.